Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hi everyone, Sean Eastridge here. Thanks so much for tuning in to this special Between Takes episode of Missing Frames, the podcast where we watch all the movies we should have seen by this point in our lives. So I've been covering the Atlanta Film Festival all this week, all last week. I mean, if you're already following us at Join Nerd Party on Twitter, or if you're following us on Instagram, The Nerd Party, you should know this. This is not news to you. And if you're not following us, why are we even friends? Why are we... Sorry, it's just... it really hurts. So make sure you're following us in both those spots. Anyway, one of my personal favorite films that I saw at the film festival last week was Little Woods, which was written and directed by Nia DaCosta and stars Tessa Thompson and Lily James. They play two sisters, Ollie and Deb, who struggle to make ends meet in a fracking boom town in North Dakota. It's such a compelling story. It has great performances, and it's also Nia's feature debut. And if it's any indication of things to come, we have so much to look forward to. And by the way, things to look forward to includes the upcoming Candyman remake produced and co-written by Jordan Peele. You've heard of him, right? He, you know, makes movies and stuff. He's a pretty cool guy. I got the chance to chat with Nia and two of Littlewood's incredible producers, Gabrielle Nadig and Rachel Fung. We talk about the script's development from Nia's time when she was at the Sundance Institute to the final product you see on the big screen. We discuss the film's incredible grounded cinematography, the performances in getting this great cast together. And we also talk about the importance of diversity, featuring it both behind the camera and in front of it. So just a heads up, this interview contains minor spoilers for the film. So what you'll want to do is go check it out. It's released in theaters this Friday. That's April 19th. And then come back and listen to the interview. It's a limited release, but it's all across the country, including New York, LA, and even here in Atlanta at the Midtown Art Cinema. It'll expand to a few more theaters the following weekend, and will hopefully continue to expand from there. If you want to check out the full list of theaters, head to Tessa Thompson's Instagram account. She actually just posted a list of them. It's at Tessa Mae Thompson. And hey, this is pretty cool. She actually bought out a couple of screenings in New York and LA, so you can head there and see it for free. The seats are available on a first-come, first-served basis. So we're going to do a quick commercial break, and then we'll get right into the interview. Hope you enjoy.
Now available to own on video cassette.
So everyone, this is awesome. Thank you all so much for doing this interview. I'm so excited.
Thanks for having us.
This is, by the way, I saw this last night at the Atlanta Film Festival, and it is amazing. It's such a great movie. Wow. So thank you all for brightening my life a little bit by bringing this movie into it. So I guess, Nia, I'll start with you. This started as a spec script, correct, for the Sundance Institute?
Yeah, I mean, I basically started writing it in the winter of 2014, January 2014, just as a way to not be too anxious about the fact that I was unemployed for a couple of weeks. And then I applied to the Sundance Screenwriters Lab because everyone kind of, you have to do it. But I knew, quote unquote, knew I wasn't going to get in, but I did somehow. And it was really shocking and wonderful. But that's kind of where it started for me. And it was through the labs that I kind of connected with everyone.
And how long did it take for you to get it from the point it was at then to now, to the final product on screen?
So in terms of the screenplay, it's like, you know, I edited it over the 2 years before we actually ended up, 3 years until we actually ended up shooting. But then like every weekend I was editing the script to suit what we could manage during the shoot. And in the edit, you know, it was just like the story kept changing, characters were coming out and we're moving things around. So it really was like when we picture locked is when that script stopped getting written, basically. But then in terms of just getting a script that we felt comfortable going out to get money with or to get actors with or crew with, that was, I would say, like within a year or a year and a half of finishing the Sundance Screenwriters Lab.
And how did Gabby and Rachel get involved with this project? How did you all meet each other?
So this is Rachel. Hi.
Hi.
Mia and I went to film school together, and we actually had a class together in freshman year in our very first semester, but then funnily enough, didn't see each other again the rest of our time there. And it was not until about 4 years later that the company that I was working for was moving into the office that Nia's company was moving out of. And not a huge believer in fate, but that sort of felt like the biggest coincidence that we ran into each other at that time. And I had just quit that job, and Nia was also leaving her job. And so we caught up, and I read the script and absolutely loved it. And that was when we were like, let's make this movie.
What about you, Gabby?
Nia and Rachel and I all went to NYU, but I was a little bit older. And I used to run a commercial production company, and we were working on a commercial, and Nia actually came and was a dancer, like a background dancer in this commercial. And she was like, I'm applying to the Sundance Labs. You did the Sundance Labs, right? And I was like, who is this person? I'm obsessed with her. And we started, we just exchanged emails and talked about applying to the labs a lot. And she introduced me to Rachel, which was incredible. And I just sort of started initially consulting, I guess. I would read the script and give notes and look at the budget with Rachel, and we just sort of talking over ideas a lot, and then eventually joined the project in a more official capacity.
Now, Nia, how did you come to focus on this particular subject? I had read a lot of interviews and listened to a lot of interviews where you talked about wanting to do something with women as leads in particular, but a very female-driven story. What sparked the initial idea?
Yeah, I wanted to tell a story about women in America, but like in particular a rural part of America, because I was unfamiliar with that part of the country or those parts of the country. They're incredibly diverse, and I just knew how different our lives were. I was born and raised in New York City. I've lived in New York my entire life, for the most part. And if I haven't been in New York, it's usually in some other city that I'm residing. So I was just pulled by my lack of knowledge about what that experience would be like. And then I just did a ton of research. And through the research, I found, you know, this oil boom town. I found out more about the opioid crisis. Through that, I found out more about just like how oil boom towns are cropping up and what they do to the towns that were there before. So it all kind of came together through the research, but the initial kernel was wanting to tell a story about women, but in particular women in rural parts of America.
And talk a little bit about Tessa and Lily getting involved and what the process was there. All of you feel free to chime in. I'm sure that was really exciting when they jumped on board the project.
Yeah, I was at the director's lab, the Sundance director's lab, and you get to bring out three actors from kind of anywhere in the country if they choose to, you know, donate their time or volunteer to come out and help. And Tessa was one of those people, and we just immediately connected and really clicked. And Luke Kirby was there as well, and we all just like got on so well. Tessa just became the character to me, and she was just such a wonderful collaborator and person and actor that a week into it, I was just like, do you want to do the movie when I make it? And she said yes, which was wonderful. And so by the time, you know, I left that experience, like we had a lead. And by the time, you know, that fall passed, like a year later, she was not just the lead of the movie, she was also like capital T Tessa Thompson, like
right.
From Creed, she was Valkyrie, you know? So she also ended up just being like a great draw for people who didn't know anything about me, but loved her. And then with Lily, I mean, that was a hard role to cast. We didn't cast Lily until prep. And we were just looking high and low and trying to find the best person, but also someone who could, like, you know, match Tessa, but not get overpowered. You know, it was just a lot of searching and trying to find the right person. And Lily read the script and loved it. And I think was excited about the opportunity to do something that wasn't what she's kind of been doing, which is like, you know, English Rose characters, like period pieces, et cetera. And we were really excited to have her.
Yeah, I think Lily was really excited about getting to do something that was a little bit darker. And I think excited that Nia could pull that out of her. I also don't think that she had worked with a female director. Isn't that true?
Oh, yeah, wow. I think so.
And yeah. Nia was going to be the first. And they had a initial Skype call because Lily was in London finishing Darkest Hour. And I just remember being in our house in Texas and Nia and her just being on a Skype call for hours. And then they brought Tessa into the equation and then they just Skyped for hours. And it was really like, oh, I think we've found our perfect woman.
Talking about the start of production, Nia, this was your first feature, correct?
Yes, my first feature film.
And Rachel and Gabby, you'd done feature, I think, Gabby, you'd done a feature before, and Rachel had done television.
I had worked on a lot of stuff on a larger scale in the studio world, and I had been an associate producer on The Get Down, but I had not. This was my first feature film, and this was my first quote unquote baby that I joined to make with these lovely ladies.
and I had done a film called King Jack and then I had also done the Sundance Producing Labs. So it was my second feature, but I was running this commercial production company. So most of my production experience was in short films that had gone to numerous festivals and branded content and straight up commercials.
So what was that first day of production like for everybody? It feels like this is a lot of uncharted territory for all of you. What did that feel like?
Well, from my perspective, it was all of our first features, but like with Gabby and Rachel's experience, we had I felt so protected and so taken care of, and it felt so manageable. We had the first day from hell because a thunderstorm like rolled in.
The biggest thunderstorm you could imagine. Just, of course. Everything drenched, and we're shooting, of course, an exterior. That's our first thing that we're doing.
Naturally.
Yeah, it was really funny. But yeah, I mean, so from that point of view, it's like our first day of shooting is about 20 seconds of the movie. So I don't know, you guys can talk more to that, Rach and Gab.
I was gonna say that I think one of the great things was that because that first day was so tough with our set basically getting drowned, was that we realized we had a really great crew with us and really great cast with us. Everyone sort of just banded together to do what was necessary to get the day done. And that sort of helped set the tone, I think, for the rest of the shoot, where everyone was really on board and just down to do whatever needed to happen to make this movie.
Yeah, we had a really incredible local crew. Most of our crew was based in Austin, Texas. And we had brought some department heads out from New York, but overall, after those first couple of days, it was very clear that we were going to be this wonderful family sort of making it work no matter what.
Yeah.
And as far as the visual style of the film goes, it's very grounded, and there's a lot of handheld tracking shots. And I love the combination of that with these kind of more contemplative, like the wider horizon shots and the landscape shots. As far as developing that visual style with your DP, Matt Mitchell, what were those conversations like, and what were you going for, Nia?
Yeah, when I stepped into this, I had a very specific idea of what I wanted the movie to look like. And a lot of that was from wanting it to do justice to how beautiful I thought like North Dakota was and how full of life these places are. Like, I feel like sometimes with independent film, because it's so tough and there's so much to think about and there's so little money, like production design kind of goes out of the window. But I wanted to be very specific about the place, and I wanted it to feel vibrant. So there's, you know, that's like, I think it's a pretty colorful film. We were very careful about handheld. Like, we didn't just use handheld as a default. Like, Matt and I talked a lot about when we would be on sticks, when we would use dolly, when we would use steady, and then handheld if it felt necessary, if it felt like it suited the scene, as opposed to just doing it because it was fast. And that was sort of step one, just saying, listen, we're going to make a movie with a very, like, with a visual identity. And then Matt was great. I mean, Matt and I swear Matt and I met like 3 weeks before prep started, and then we kind of got to know each other.
Not three weeks.
Was it? When was it? Because I feel like we met, and then like the next time I saw him, we were on and prep.
I'll have to, like, I could probably disprove that with like email evidence.
Yeah,
I don't think it was 3 weeks.
Emotionally, it felt like 3 weeks.
You were on like second, third date, and then it was like, shoot my movie.
Yeah, exactly. And like, because honestly, like, our process was so, we were kind of like cowboys when we went into getting money for the movie before we shot, because it happened in such a wonderful and like kind of quick way in a certain respect. But with Matt, like, Matt and I learned about each other when we were working together, and also like about our styles, and they happened to really, really meld in a really wonderful way. And one of our first conversations, I was talking about how much I love the 70s and Gordon Willis, and of course he was like, me too. And I was like, I love Zooms, let's do Zooms. And I thought he was gonna laugh me out of the parking lot, and he was like, absolutely, you know. So the fact that the things that I really loved, he really loved, was really awesome. And and he's just a great partner. He was really wonderful to work with.
There's so much good stuff in this. One of my favorite, I think it's just a long shot of, by long shot, I mean, it's a long take of Ollie hiding all her medicine, all her drugs for her parole officer coming over. But I there's a lot of great stuff like that that really puts you in the mood. Were there any particularly challenging shots that you were so like, you look at that and you want to just brag about it and be like, I can't believe we pulled that off?
I mean, a lot of our philosophy was like, if we can do it in one, we might as well do it in one. If it is, if it's not distracting, you know what I mean? Like, I hate when it's like, we did a 20 minute one, or it's like, but who cares? But we kind of, for us, it was like more about like story and being inside the character's head and kind of like feeling like you can't escape, et cetera. So one of those moments was one of the first shots of the movie, actually, which is Ollie coming out of the woods, and then she starts running, and we're still with her. We're with her, and she's like going in and out of focus, and it's very like jarring.
How did you pull that shot off? Because I remember that right from the get-go, that grabbed me. You could feel the audience like pulled right into the movie, and I was like, are they on a truck, or is like, how was the shot done?
It's a pickup and a great crew, basically. We were in a national park, I think it was one of the like really great parks in Texas, and it was like a pan and a zoom and just like driving, and she her running, like booking it towards us. It was really awesome. And we did it a couple of times, and like, and it was funny because, I mean, it just went so well. Like, Matt's amazing. So he figured that out and like how to make that work. And our focus puller, our first AC, was so amazing. So, I mean, just having those kinds of people on set like made those things so possible. So, but that one is definitely the one we were like, yes, we got it.
And to open the film, not bad. But this is another one about just the screenwriting process and the story, because one of the things that impressed me so much, I was so amazed by the balance of the stories you're telling and all the characters, because it feels like, okay, I think this movie is about Ollie, but also you've got Deb and she's got her pregnancy. And then there's just the drug stuff. There's the job interview. There's so much stuff going on, but it never feels bogged down or overwhelming. Mm-hmm. How did you get to that point as far as developing the script? Because it works so well. And how did you find the balance as you were crafting the film, not only in writing, but in the edit and trying to figure out, okay, what is it going too slow? Is it going too fast? Is this not clear? What were the challenges there?
Yeah, that was a perennial challenge, I think, for the movie. Or not challenge, but just something that I was always sculpting and looking at and being particular about. When the first draft of the script, you know, the first draft that like Rachel and Gabrielle read, was full of so many characters and had so much more scope, and it was just like, whoa, so much is happening. And then as we got through like editing it and shooting it, and also editing the footage, it was just about pulling out everything that wasn't about these two sisters. And so everything that's in the film, yes, it's like a lot of topics, like a lot of big things that are, you know, that we are talking about, but they all connect back to them, their relationship and their lives. And I wanted to be honest about how complex life is and how it's an ecosystem, as opposed to like one issue hitting you at a time. It's like one thing propels into another thing, propels into another thing. Especially when you're poor, you know, like one thing happening can just send your life into a tailspin. So I knew we had to be honest about that.
I would also say that we went up to North Dakota and interviewed people and spoke to them about their experiences up there and just sort of felt what it was like to be in those towns. Mm. And I think that was one thing that was really difficult for us, because those towns are so fascinating and all the people there are so fascinating. We, even going into shooting, we had a larger cast than you actually see on screen, because there were so many different facets that we wanted to include. There were many more storylines that we shot and we managed to get them on film, but we just, in the end, as Nia said, realized that this was a story about these two sisters. And at the end of the day, all of those things were sort of distracting. And so we had to remove all of them. But there was honestly so much that we discussed at multiple points over the whole process, of including that, just unfortunately, you know, in a 90 to 100 minute film, it's very hard to try and include all of that.
So as far as what's amazing about this is, now we're living in a day and age where it feels like there's a real push for diversity. But what's great about this movie is it feels like it's coming up in that era, and it feels like such a celebration of these things for all of you. As far as telling these kinds of stories and making sure all these different voices are heard, what are you hoping for with the film industry as it moves forward in that direction and telling these kinds of stories?
I mean, from my point of view as a writer and director, it's really about creating stories about different kinds of people that we haven't seen before. And my own personal little pet project, as it relates to Black people and Black women in particular, or just women of color and women, period. Just like, we are always put into spaces that are like very stereotypical. So like, if it's a Black person historically, it's like, slavery times, or if it's a woman, it's like historically, it's like she's like, you know, powerless and she's just a wife or whatever. But there's so many amazing women in history who existed in a way that we don't have any familiarity with because the media doesn't at all put their stories out there. And so that's like my sort of little pet project. Like, I love stories like that that show us parts of, you know, what our history was that isn't often seen.
Yeah, I think Nia, Rachel, and I sort of talk about this all the time, is we're interested in showing powerful women, flawed women, women who like take charge and control their own destiny. And what I really love about Littlewoods is that there isn't like a love story going on. There isn't like some man in her life that's sort of driving any decisions. It's her and her family. And that's what's sort of important to us.
I think for me, just to also add, I feel like one of the other things that really drew me to this project at the beginning was that Nia was dealing with things that are so typically political items, and she was really humanizing those stories. And I think what I really appreciated about it and the way that she told the story was that she was, you know, at the end of the day, it's about making a better life for yourself and your family. And I think that is something that everyone can relate to, regardless of where you are, in what country, or how old you are. I think that's something that everyone can relate to. And knowing that that people are living like this in present day America is something that's important for people to relate to and understand how their condition is.
And moving forward, I mean, this is such a huge accomplishment. It's fantastic. Where do you all want to go moving forward with future projects? What kinds of stories do you want to tell?
Something that I really want to do is just to tell stories about remarkable, interesting, unconventional women, and women who are so unconventional that it makes them dangerous, either physically because they're like an assassin, or because their ideas are so unconventional or exciting or new that they're seen as dangerous. I think that's sort of like, I realize the theme of my work. And also like almost everything I do is like something of a Western in some way or another, whether or not it's actually in the American West. So I think that's something I'd like to continue.
Yeah, I just want to do more things with more women behind and in front of the camera at all costs, all different kinds of stories, and big budgets, lower budgets, like all in between. But I really want to strive to working with more women.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. I really want to support female filmmakers, but I'm also very interested in seeing more diversity on screen as well. I've sort of realized as I evaluate my own condition from how I was growing up to now that is something that I really missed as a child. And so I am also trying to actively look for projects that will involve filmmakers telling different perspectives.
And I have one last question. My main podcast, Missing Frames, we watch all the movies we should have seen by this point in our lives. For all of you, what is a movie that you absolutely have been dying to see that you've just never gotten around to seeing?
Oh wow, that's a great question.
That comes up all the time. I'm a terrible film student. I like missed all of the big things that I should have seen, and I just block them out, and I'm like, but I've seen Mighty Ducks a lot. Like, is that,
I mean, Mighty Ducks is great.
It's very important.
I really want to see more of the like old Hollywood epics.
Like Ben-Hur, stuff like that.
Literally, Ben-Hur was a movie I was thinking of. Yeah,
I recently saw.
Yeah, I haven't seen Ben-Hur either.
I saw Lawrence of Arabia last year, and it's amazing. And so I kind of like want to visit that time period because I also just think there's something so valuable about the filmmaking when you're forced to do it, like practically what that actually does, and so what part of that you can keep, and what part of that is good that we got rid of.
I think one for me that I feel like I should see, because I feel like I probably would enjoy it, and I've been hearing lots of people, it's been coming up in conversation recently just randomly, but I feel like Bullet is a film that has come up multiple times recently that I would probably enjoy but have never seen.
There's another one I need to see. You know what else I need to see? The original Candyman, so I can go see the remake when it comes out, which I'm so excited about.
You must.
I haven't seen that either, so we can see it together, because it's too scary for me. I can't watch any of that. But I'll watch yours, Nia, obviously.
Okay, great. Everyone said that. They're like, it's too scary, but I'll watch yours.
Yeah. Like, well, because I'll know the people who made it, and it won't be like burned in my nightmares.
Right.
I know you probably can't talk about it too much, Nia, but what are you excited to bring to that project?
myself. And that's all I can say.
Perfect. That's enough to make me excited for it, especially after seeing this movie, which, by the way, is this coming out next weekend?
Yes, April 19th. Opens.
Is that a wide theatrical release?
Yes, and I can send you every city that it's in, but it's like 15 different cities.
Okay, perfect. I want to make sure people go see this because it is an excellent film. It's one of the best I've seen this year. So I'm very excited for all of you. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you all so much for your time.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.